live special one-hour political roundtable on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Rhode Island Public Radio political reporter Ian Donis. Tonight we'll be hearing from the four Democratic candidates for governor, Todd Giroux, Clay Pell, Gina Raimondo, and Angel Taveras. I'll be asking questions of the candidates along with my colleague, Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay, and University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. We've also solicited questions from Rhode Island Public Radio listeners. I'll moderate the discussion and jump in if the candidates go too long in their answers or don't answer the question. Generally speaking, candidates, we're looking for answers of about 45 seconds, although we'll cut you a little bit of running room there. And we'll, in the final segment of this 1 hour, you'll also hear the candidates ask questions of one another. So here we go. The first question, we'll start with Todd Giroux. Todd, small business forms the foundation of Rhode Island's economy. What would you do if elected governor to make the state better for small business?
Thank you, Ian. I'm focused on the 2008 Economic Stabilization Act and the TARP funds that were used to bail out the banks. The repaid TARP was supposed to be used for small businesses, green projects, and infrastructure in the United States. And I'm saying, let's do the hard work and bring that money back to Rhode Island. That could mean $5 billion for Rhode Island. I'd like to see a commerce fund for small businesses and property owners to affect the jobs plan in 2015. It's the quickest way to get thousands of Rhode Islanders back to work. It's a jobs plan that's not on the back of government. So I've got some great feedback out there. Everyone knows about the bailouts. They know about TARP. And now we're saying, where is it? Let's get this money here in Rhode Island and affect a jobs plan in 2015.
Next up to Gina Raimondo. Gina Raimondo, what would you do to make Rhode Island a more hospitable climate for small business?
Thanks, Ian, and thank you to NPR for hosting this evening. It's great to be here. It's an excellent question, and one that I know something about, because prior to being treasurer, for more than 10 years, I ran a business in Providence, and what I did is worked with small businesses to create over 1,000 jobs. And so I have a real sense of what it takes to help small businesses be effective and successful. Importantly, the way we're going to get people back to work in Rhode Island is to get the businesses that are in Rhode Island to expand in Rhode Island, not to go fishing to other states to try to attract big companies to come here. And what I hear over and over from small businesses, and what I heard when I was in the private sector working with businesses, is that government is almost adversarial. We need a government that reaches out to small business and says, how can we help you? How can we help you access resources? What I would like to see and what I've called for is a much more transparent and streamlined regulatory environment, permitting processes online, statewide permitting instead of 39 cities and towns, a toolkit for small businesses so that they can navigate the system and do the work of running their business, not get trapped up in, you know, state government regulations.
Now to Angel Taveras, what would you do if elected governor to improve the climate for small business in Rhode Island?
Thank you, Ian. It's great to be here with you tonight. And I think we can do several things to address small businesses. First and foremost, job training and making sure that we partner with our community college in Rhode Island to expand job training here in Rhode Island. Professor Lodaro from URI has said that part of the reason that we lag behind in terms of our unemployment rate is because we have inadequately skilled workforce. We should do something about that. We can do that and expand that right now in Rhode Island. The other thing I really want to do is improve education. The more that we can improve education, the better educated workforce that we have, it's going to be a benefit to all of us. The third thing is improving our infrastructure as well. Not just the infrastructure with respect to how you do business in Rhode Island. I think that's important. But we need to improve our physical infrastructure as well. It makes a difference in terms of attracting people to your businesses. And so I look forward to being able to do all of those things as governor and really creating a better climate for small business in Rhode Island.
How about you, Clay Pell? What would you say about improving Rhode Island's small business climate?
Well, I think we need a real plan to grow the economy, particularly for our small businesses. And I think that begins by supporting and investing in those sectors of our economy where Rhode Island has a natural competitive advantage, looking at our maritime and our defense sectors, our knowledge and our research sectors, our tourism, and even agriculture and food, which was one of the areas that actually grew during the recession. I think we need a real plan where we're going to invest, and my plan calls for making capital available to small businesses, not these large-scale 38-studio-type investments, but small-scale seeded capital so that when people are graduating and they want to stay in the state, they can actually start a business. And then looking to grow the economy by investing in our roads and our infrastructure and investing in our education. And finally, I do believe that it's important to raise the minimum wage and raise it immediately.
The minimum wage is going to $9 in January. How much would you raise it?
I would raise it to $10.10. I think we should raise it immediately. People don't need to wait any longer.
Quickly, Angel Tavares, do you agree with Mr. Pell that the minimum wage should go to $10.10 immediately?
Well, he agreed with me after I said that we should raise the minimum wage to $10.10. I think with respect to the timing, we should do it as quickly as we possibly can. I was proud to be the first candidate to suggest raising the minimum wage, and I was glad to start that debate among the candidates, and certainly I think we all agree to raise it
Thank
as quickly
Gina
as possible.
Thank you. Gina Raimondo, 10 seconds on the minimum wage.
$10.10. I think we all agree.
Todd Giroux?
$10.10 is still far below Massachusetts. It still puts us 20% below Massachusetts.
For our next question, we'll go to Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay.
Buddy Cianci has reemerged as a candidate for Providence mayor. Is this good for Rhode Island or bad for Rhode Island? We're going to start this question with Clay Pell.
Well, I think we need a new generation of leadership in this state. Scott, I think we need to change the climate and change the perception of cronyism in our politics. That's really why I'm in this race, because I want to break this cycle. I want people...
Well, wait a minute now. Is this good for Rhode Island or bad for Rhode Island? We have him as actually a viable candidate again.
Absolutely a viable candidate. I think that this is not a good precedent for the state of Rhode Island to have felons running for office in this state.
Angel Tavares, your view of Mr. Cianci's candidacy?
My view is that the people of Providence, I think, will make the right decision to make sure to move our city forward. I'm proud of what we've been able to accomplish over the last several years under my leadership, and I want to make sure that the next mayor continues to move the city forward.
I'm a Democrat,
and I expect that the next mayor of the city of Providence will also be a Democrat, and I'll be supporting the Democratic candidate, which will not be Mayor Cianci.
Ms. Raimondo.
This is a very important election for the people of Providence. I will be supporting the Democratic nominee. But as a statewide office holder, as a resident of Providence, as a mother with two kids in Providence Public Schools, there's a lot at stake. We have, in the past 3 years, every year, 100 shootings a year in the capital city. We have commercial property tax rates that are crippling this city. No one's bidding on Route 195. The state of Rhode Island has the highest unemployment rate in the country, and the unemployment rate in the city of Providence is even higher. The city needs a leader who's going to move the city forward. And this election is vital, and I hope the people of the city of Providence get educated and cast their vote wisely for someone who can lead the city forward.
You live in Providence. You'll have a vote, Ms. Raimondo. Who is your candidate for mayor?
I will be supporting the Democratic nominee, which, of course, will not be Buddy Cianci.
Mr. Giroux?
So much of the high tax in Providence is due to the Cianci administration having cut deals with the unions over the years. So though he may take this election, maybe there's a great redemption story here. He could hit the ground running and be quite effective. But it does, doesn't bode well for the elections having, two-time criminal in the office there.
For our next question, we'll go to URI political science professor Maureen Moakley.
I'd like to ask the candidates about education. Most of the Democratic candidates for governor, while critical of the kneecap test, were somewhat vague about the test protocol and evaluation system that they would support. Now that the kneecap is no longer an issue, may I start with Angel Tavares? What specific policies would you support going forward as governor?
Sure, thank you. First and foremost, I think it's important that we focus on what's best for our students, and we need to evaluate our students. And we'll be implementing over the next several years the Common Core curriculum, and there are challenges associated with that. We're seeing other states facing those challenges. We need to get it right, and we need to make sure we give the teachers the support that they need. So that's something I want to focus on. There's a PARC assessment that will be part of that as well. And as I said, we need to make sure we implement the curriculum correctly. Secondly, with respect to evaluations, I would say that I supported the bill that just passed because changes were made to the bill, and we should be able to focus. We should focus on the teachers who need help. Look, I've said this before. No one dislikes a bad second grade teacher as much as a good third grade teacher. And so we need to focus on the teachers who need help, give them that support, and I look forward to doing that as governor.
Ms. Raimondo, can I ask you about the Common Core and what you would support?
Well, again, I come at this as a future governor, but also a mother of two school-age kids in the Providence public school system. And I will tell you, as a mother, children are over-tested. Having said that, we need effective public education. I support the Common Core. I think we need to keep our standards high because the most important thing we can do for economic development is make sure that our young people have an education so they can have high-skill, high-wage jobs. So I think we should, you know, go for the Common Core. Then we need to match our curriculum to that Common Core so that teachers are able to teach in a way that allows our children to achieve the Common Core. And I also think we should move to the PARC assessment. Mm-hmm. Importantly, though, we should learn from Massachusetts, our neighbor to the north. In the early 90s, they did not have successful schools. Now they have excellent public schools. And they implemented their testing over a series of years. So I think we shouldn't waver. Set the standards high, have fair assessments, but let's make sure we give our teachers the support they need, the professional development they need, in order to, you know, be able to effectively teach and have their students be assessed.
Mr. Giroux, what would you add to that?
I want teachers to teach, and I want students to count on learning the skills, success for graduating school, and prepared for college. The STEM to STEAM program is the most effective way to hit the ground running with better education here in the state. Combine education, mathematics, science, industrial design. We don't need committees, we don't need boards and gubernatorial boards to mandate what's required in education. There's so many programs that have been cut in the schools, and I believe that the arts programs can be easily combined with science and technology, and I think it would be a great effective tool for students to graduate.
What about the Common Core?
You know, I do support standards for graduation, but I don't think it should be a single you know, factor.
But that should be part of the mix.
Should be part of the mix.
Right. Mr. Yeah. Pell, can I ask you your opinion on that, please?
Sure. To answer the question, I oppose high-stakes testing as a graduation requirement, absolutely. I think that this high-stakes testing has the tendency of de-emphasizing art, music, language, sports, after-school programs, a lot of the areas and activities that get students engaged and excited. I believe we have to invest in those, and we have to allow our educators and our schools to have the flexibility to invest in those areas so that our kids get the experience to go into the job market as quickly as possible and get excited about what it is that they're doing.
My question to you is, why can't we do it all? Why do you know, what's the difference? Why can't we have some high-stakes testing, and focus on all these other things? It was an education that you probably had.
Well, I have no problem with testing, and there's no problem with having standards. That's not the issue. The issue is having high-stakes testing as a graduation requirement. That generates a huge amount of anxiety, and specifically because we want to have multiple pathways for our students. We want to have a strong and valued career and technical pathway so that people can go into the job market. We want to be valuing our art and music and language. And the impact of high-stakes testing in this state has been to de-emphasize those things. I want to emphasize those and value all of the students in the full diversity of this state, because that was what made our country strong, was valuing the diversity, the different ways ways that people learn, recognizing that people are different.
I don't think we should stop you there. We need to move on. The next question, we start off with Gina Raimondo. It comes from a listener, Roger in Pawtucket. Mr. Raimondo, do you feel that the so-called moral obligation to repay 38 studios bonds carries more or less weight than the pensions of public employees in Rhode Island?
I think that's a little bit apples and oranges. So let me be clear. When I took over as treasurer, our pension system was in a state of crisis. It was one of the worst funded in the country. A couple months later, Central Falls went bankrupt, in part because of their pension, and we had to go to people who were already retired and cut their pensions in half. That's wrong and could have been avoided if someone showed leadership 10 or 15 years ago to fix the pension system. So I believe deeply that people deserve pensions. That's why I fought so hard to fix our broken pension system. And now the system is healthier than it's been in decades. So absolutely, people deserve pensions. And that's why we had to do what we did. We bring everybody together, not deny the problem, fix the problem, and now we can tell our hardworking public employees, yes, it's not going to be Central Falls. We're not going to pull the rug out from under you. Your pensions will be there. And we're not going to bankrupt cities and towns in the process. As it relates to 38 studios, I was one of the first people.
10 seconds.
10 seconds. I was against the deal from the beginning. If I had been the governor, it wouldn't have happened. Having said that, knowing what I know now, I do think we have to repay it, because if we don't, it'll cost the taxpayers of Rhode Island more in the long run.
I've got to stop you there. Todd Giroux, is Mr. Raimondo correct that it's apples and oranges to compare the moral obligations bonds of 38 studios and the pensions of public employees?
Absolutely not. The bondholders of 38 studios were vested in bondholders. The program was insured. I don't believe it's going to damage the bond rating of the state. So I'd cut those losses. When I talk about repaid TARP for communities, they had the TARP provision had a plan for pension insurance. Statewide pensions that lost over $1 billion before 2010 were to qualify. And I say, let's do the hard work of getting that $1 billion back in the pension fund. There's teachers on pensions making $18,000 a year, and I don't believe in cutting those pensions.
What do you say, Clay Pell? I believe you've been noncommittal on whether you would have voted for the 2012 overhaul of the state pension system. What do you say about this issue of public pensions and 38 studios?
Well, I think the state has a fundamental obligation to meet its obligations, and that is why I believe that the state should repay the bonds in the 38 Studios case after full diligence, after fully investigating, and after settling wherever we can, because I think that we need to move into the future. And the way
would you have voted for the 2012 overhaul of the state pension system?
I think that the 2012 overhaul of the pension system, while it was necessary to do something, was mismanaged from the beginning. And the consequence of not bringing people to the table and actually listening to them, I think, has resulted in the fact that it's now before the courts, and we have continued uncertainty.
We're short on time. Sorry, I have to stop you there. Angel Tavares, last word here. What do you make of this comparison of the moral obligation on 38 studios and public employee pensions?
Well, I think we have a moral obligation to do both, and I think they're not apples and oranges. I think that we have a moral obligation to fulfill the promises we've made to our employees because they've fulfilled their responsibility to us. I think that the reason I support paying back the bonds is because I think we'll be worse off if we don't do it. And I believe that, and it's going to hurt the men and women who are working very hard today in the long run. I think that what we need to do as well with pensions is to make sure that we're mindful to get the best return that we can and to limit the fees that we pay Wall Street. We have a moral obligation to do that as well.
Mr. Tavares, would you have voted for the 2012 overhaul of the state pension system?
Knowing what I know now, no.
Okay, we have to stop there. We're going to take a short break. This is Political Roundtable on Rhode Island Public Radio. We're talking with the Democratic candidates for governor, Angel Tavares, Gina Raimondo, Clay Pell, and Todd Giroux. We're going to be back very shortly, and we really appreciate our live audience being here as well as our audience at home on the radio. Thanks so much.